This morning we come to a new section in Christ's teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. We noted in chapter 6, Christ was dealing with two main themes, that of hypocrisy in our religious duties, and then the importance of putting Christ first, or putting God first in our lives. And of course both these things are connected, because if God is first in our lives, if He's ruling and reigning in our hearts, then we will not be hypocritical in our worship or in our religious duties. But now as we come to chapter 7, the main theme that is set before us in this chapter is the Christian's behaviour. The Christian's behaviour. And that the life of the Christian, and what the life of the Christian will produce. We see this very clearly in a number of verses. For example, in verse 16 it tells us, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." Verse 20 again says, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Notice, this is God's people. They do God's will. It is actions. It is deeds here. Verse 23 says, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And so here is people that are not Christians. Why? Because they work iniquity. It's their deeds, their actions. And so the main focus in this chapter is upon the deeds of our lives, the things that we do. The chapter begins with words that are very familiar in verse 1. "Judge not, that ye be not judged." These words are frequently used, but it also has to be said they're also frequently abused. It must be understood what this verse of Scripture does not teach, as well as what it does teach. This verse does not teach that we as Christians are not to make judgments about the behaviour and actions of others. That is what this verse does not teach. It doesn't teach us that we are to be indifferent concerning sin, or to be unconcerned about sin. That would be absurd considering what we've just read in verses 16 and 20. "By their fruits ye shall know them." As we assess the lives of others, as we see the fruit that those lives produce, this involves a certain amount of judgment, assessing them. Christ is saying, see what fruit their lives produce. See these people. And then judge them by their fruits. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And so, Christ here is not saying that we're not to judge or to have any judgment whatsoever. We can see also in verse 6 what he says. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." Here we're commanded not to cast that which is holy to dogs, or cast our pearl before swine. Again, this involves judgment. It involves a certain amount of discernment and assessing the situation. We're not to cast our pearls before swine. Then we must judge, who are the swine? Who is the dogs referred to in verse 6? And so Christ is not saying we're not to make judgments. There are also many other places in Scripture where we are told not to make, or we are told that not to make judgments is that which brings the condemnation of God. The condemnation of God upon our head, and we're held accountable for it. God speaking about Eli in 1 Samuel 3 and 13 says, "I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth." Notice, Eli knew about this iniquity because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Here, Eli knew about this iniquity, but he didn't make judgment concerning it. He didn't restrain them. He didn't deal with the situation. He didn't take it in hand. They were his sons. He was responsible. He should have made judgment concerning it. And God held him accountable. He turned a blind eye to the sin of his sons. God also told Israel in Deuteronomy 13 and 8 what they were to do if some family friend or some friend turned them to sin. God said to Israel, "Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thy spare, neither shalt thy conceal him." Notice what God is saying to Israel here. If someone that you know, someone that is your friend, even a family member, if they turn you to sin or are seeking to turn you to sin, you're not to spare. Their sin must be exposed. It must be dealt with. And that involves judgment. Assessing. And so Christ in these verses in Matthew 7 is teaching, or is not teaching us that we're not to be indifferent to sin or to turn a blind eye to it. He's actually doing the opposite. He is teaching us of the seriousness of sin and how to deal with it. To help us understand what he is teaching, Christ gives us here an illustration. As we look at these words from verses 1 to 5, we can see in verses 1 to 2, Christ sets out the truth of what he is saying. And then in verses 3 to 4, he gives an illustration to explain the truth of what he is saying. And then in verse 5, there is the application. He applies it to the people. And so if we are to understand what Christ is saying here and teaching, we're to grasp it. Then we must take all of these five verses together, not just one verse. People that merely stand and shout, "Judge not that you be not judged," are usually missing the truth of what Christ is teaching here and what Christ is saying. We cannot just take one verse or one statement of the Savior and hold on to it and use it against others. What the Savior is warning against. And this is what I want us to consider this morning here in these five verses. Christ is warning against a fault-finding spirit. A fault-finding spirit. He is condemning that spirit that judges others as if we ourselves were above the law. It is that holier-than-thou attitude. And that is what Christ is condemning here. That is what Christ is speaking against. This attitude prevailed among the Pharisees. And sadly, it still prevails today. Not only in society, but also within the church. And so Christ is speaking here about this judgmental mindset. This critical attitude. This fault-finding spirit. And this is what I want us to look at this morning. There are three things that I want us to notice here about the Savior's words. The first thing I want us to see here is the danger of this judgmental mindset. The danger of it. We have it in verses 1 and 2. "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." As the Savior preaches to the people sat on the mount, he's given them a warning in these words. What he's saying is, if you judge others with a critical and judgmental frame of mind, then you'll be judged also in like manner. If you treat others in this way, then you will be treated in this way by others. If you afford little grace to others, then others will show to you little grace. And of course, this is common sense. And so Christ is warning against the danger of having this judgmental mindset. Not only affects others, but also we ourselves are affected by it. That which we measure to others, we shall also be measured by it ourselves. And so having this fault-finding spirit is a very dangerous thing. A very dangerous and a very damaging thing. As we think of how dangerous this judgmental mindset is, there are two things that we can see here. It produces, firstly, a blindness concerning ourselves. It produces a blindness. And verses 3 and 4 tell us this. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or why wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye?" Christ, here as he gives this illustration, points out that those who possess a judgmental mindset, a critical attitude towards others, are blinded to their own sin. That is what the Savior is saying here. They are focused on the mote that is in their brother's eye, and they are concerned about having it removed, having it dealt with. The word mote here means a dry twig or a straw. The thought is of something small. Perhaps today we would say it was a piece of sawdust. And here this person has a piece of sawdust in their eye. And yet the person who's doing the judging is taken up with this bit of a twig, this piece of sawdust in their brother's eye, while all along they have in their own eye a beam. And that is speaking about a great plank of wood. A beam that would hold up a roof. I'm sure as Christ spoke to the people that day, this in one sense would have caused the people to smile. They thought of someone having a plank of wood in their eye, this great beam, and then going to someone else and saying, "Can I please remove that piece of sawdust out of your eye?" How ridiculous, how foolish it is. But this is what Christ wanted them to understand. Those that have this critical, fault-finding spirit are blinded to their own sin, are blinded to their own problems. This attitude comes from a lack of understanding of her own true spiritual state. In the Old Testament, there is a very powerful illustration of a godly man being afflicted with this problem. If you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see here David. David here after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And here the prophet Nathan is sent to speak with David after he had sinned. And as Nathan comes to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, he comes and he brings a parable to God's servant here. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 1, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him, and with his children it did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him." So we have this parable. Nathan explains to David how this rich man took this poor man's lamb, the only lamb that he had, the lamb that he loved, the lamb that he cherished, and he took it. And without showing any mercy or any grace, he came and he took it and he used it to meet the needs of this wayfaring man. Now notice David's reaction in verses 5 and 6. "And David's anger was kindled greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." David is incensed. He makes quick judgment here. This man is going to die because of this. This is a terrible thing. This is an unjust thing. And then we know Nathan's words in verse 7. "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thou art the man." You see how David was able to make judgment so quickly over the head of a lamb? But he had done the very same with the life of a man. He didn't see the beam that was in his own eye. Oh yes, he could make this judgment so quickly and so rapidly and condemn this other man that had taken the life of a lamb. But he was blinded to his own sin. Blinded to the beam that was in his own eye. What a dangerous position this is in, to have this judgmental mindset. We become taken up so much with the faults and sins of others that we cannot even see our own sin. Our own sin that is so obvious. As Nathan spoke to David here in this parable, it didn't once dawn on David that it was him, because he was blinded. He was blinded. What a dangerous position this is. It produces a blindness concerning ourselves. It not only produces a blindness concerning ourselves, but it also produces a brutality concerning others. A brutality concerning others. In verse 5, we see that, verse 5 in Matthew chapter 7, we see that we are to help our brother when he has got an issue in his life. It says there, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And so we are to help our brother, even if it's only a mote, just a small thing. It is right and proper that we seek to help them in love. And the emphasis here is on love. Speaking to them in love and helping them. There's many places in God's word that emphasize this. Leviticus 19 and 17 says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him." And so what God's saying is, don't hate your brother, but in love rebuke him. And don't suffer sin in his life. In love rebuke him. And so we are to help our brother, our sister, when they sin, by speaking to them about it. And of course, this is all done in love for their benefit. It is done for their welfare, for their good. Again, Proverbs often refers to this. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 9 and 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Proverbs 27, 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. So it is the Christian's duty to help their brothers and sisters by a wise word in season. But what Christ is speaking about in Matthew 7 and condemning is that critical spirit that is not seeking to help someone. It's not seeking to support someone that has a problem, perhaps with some sin, and to encourage them and to pray for them and enable them to get over that problem. But rather what Christ is saying here is there is people and they want to point at other people's sins just to their condemnation, to their heart. And that is that spirit, that critical, that fault-finding spirit. They're not treating them in love, but instead they're treating them cruelly and brutally. Look at that man's sin. Look what he has done. I'm pointing out his mote that is in his eye. That is what Christ is condemning here. They do not want to help others. They want to expose others. And then in the exposing of others, they themselves appear whiter than white. The Pharisees were very, very good at this. This is what they did continually. Christ speaking in Matthew 23 says, for they say, and he's speaking about the Pharisees, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And that's what the Pharisees did. They put these burdens upon people. They pointed out other people's problems and issues, but they themselves would not do. And that was cruel. That was brutal. And that is what is so dangerous about having this judgmental mindset. We treat not our neighbor in love, but instead we treat them cruelly by criticizing them and by making them the subject of our fault-finding spirit. And that is detrimental. That is in the end to their heart and to their injury. It doesn't bring them closer to Christ. It doesn't deal with the problem. It drives them further away. And the warning that Christ has given in verse 2 is very clear. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. If that is the spirit that you have, then you too will be treated in this cruel and brutal way. It's a warning. It's a warning Christ is giving here. And so we see the danger of this judgmental mindset. Notice not only the danger then of this mindset, but notice also the damage of this judgmental mindset. To see the damage of such an attitude, we need look no further than the scribes and the Pharisees. And of course, we've already referred to them. But when Christ was on earth, they spent their time following him so they might accuse him of something. That's what they spent their time doing. They listened to Christ's sermons. Why? So that they might catch out something that he would say and accuse him. They questioned him and they debated with him. They tried to lay traps for him, all so they could find something to accuse him of. And that's what they did continually. They waited upon his words so that they might accuse him, point the finger at him. They had this judgmental mindset the whole time they were in Christ's company. It was to criticize and to find fault. Luke 11, verses 53 and 54 sum up the attitude of the scribes and Pharisees towards Christ. We read there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. That's what they did. They vehemently urged upon him. And they tried to provoke him. All that they could catch him out. This is how these wicked men treated the Prince of Life. He was bringing the greatest message ever to be heard. The message of eternal life and of salvation. Yet all these men could do with their judgmental mindset was try and find something to accuse him of. What a sad situation. What miserable men these were. Miserable men. As we think of the Pharisees and of how the Savior condemned them, saying they were off their father the devil, you truly see the damage this type of fault-finding attitude causes. It causes much damage. It leaves us just hypocrites. Verse 5 commences, thou hypocrite. The hypocrite, as we noted in chapter 6, means actor. It means pretender. The actor is someone who is pretending to be something they are not. It's just a performance they're putting on to convince the audience that they are something or someone that they are not. That which is real and genuine doesn't need to act, because it is the real deal. But the actor's role is to try and convince those that are watching that I am something and I am someone that I am not. And yet Christ calls these people that have this attitude actors, pretenders, hypocrites. You see, what the Savior is saying is they're pretending to be something they're not. Those that have this fault-finding spirit, those that have this critical attitude, they're just pretending to be something they're not. As they try and convince others of their own righteousness, they happily point out the faults of others. This is a very dangerous position to be in. It is establishing our own righteousness upon the faults of others. And that's what it is. And that is the motive behind it. The Pharisees, that's what they tried to do. Oh, look at those people down there. I'm not like them. They were establishing their own righteousness upon the faults of others. One of the bodies I used to be accredited with as a heating engineer always used to go on about never criticizing another man's work. Never criticize another man's work in front of a customer. And they emphasized this. And they said, let your own work stand for itself. They said, if your work is really so good, you'll not have to point out the faults of others. You'll not have to criticize others. You see, sadly, there's many, and they're only too happy to point out the faults of others to try and convince others and themselves of their own spiritual state. What a bad and a dangerous position to be in. If you need to point out the faults of others to try and prove that you're okay, you're not genuine. You're not Christ's. You're not a Christian. You're only a hypocrite, a pretender. Remember the Pharisee that went to the temple to pray? What did he pray? I thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. His praying, his righteousness was based on the fact that there was another man who was worse than him. He was not really praying. It was only hypocrisy. It was false. And that is the most dangerous position to be in. A dangerous position. This fault-finding spirit, it makes us out to be just hypocrites. It also causes us to hinder others. To hinder others. If we are taken up with this attitude that Christ describes here, then we'll be a hindrance to others in the work of God. We will not help others, we will hinder others. The 10 evil spies that searched out the land of Canaan, as they come back, they had a critical attitude concerning God's people. They said, you're not able to take the land, you're not strong enough. God had given them the land, but they were saying, listen, you're too weak, you're not powerful enough. The Bible tells us they discouraged the heart of the people. How they hindered God's people from going on into the blessing of God. A whole generation was lost in the wilderness. They wandered for 40 years because of this critical, this fault-finding spirit. We can think also of David's eldest brother, Eliab. He was a great hindrance to David from fighting for God. David came to the battlefield and Eliab was standing there with his arms the one length, doing nothing. And yet when David said, listen, what is going to be done about Goliath? Is there not a cause? What about God's glory, God's honor here? Listen to Eliab's words. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man. Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou might see the battle. Notice the whole spirit of his language was all judgmental and critical. David, you're being naughty. You're coming down here to see the battle. Go you back there to the sheep in the wilderness. Let us men fight. While all along he was doing nothing. You see, he had a great big beam in his own eye. He couldn't see. But as he was possessed with this critical spirit, this fault-finding spirit, he was hindering David in the work of God. Hindering David. What a dangerous spirit this is. We need to be so careful that if we don't have the spirit, we need to get before God. We look at the verses of Scripture and say, Lord, have I got this attitude? Have I got this spirit? Am I helping the work of God, or am I hindering the work of God because of my critical and fault-finding attitude? That's what we must do today as we read God's word here. This is a very dangerous position to be in. And so we see the danger of having this mindset. The damage of having this mindset. Notice finally and quickly the deliverance from this mindset. The Savior, as he condemns this serious and damaging state of mind, also by implication gives direction how we can be saved from falling into this critical spirit. The Lord Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, uses his staff not only to pull the sheep back from danger, but to guide in the way of life and the way of blessing and the way of happiness. And so as we come to passages like this, we ought to consider how we can be saved. What is the Savior telling us? How we can be saved from what is condemned here? And there are two things I believe we can note here once again as we look at how we can be delivered from this sad and damaging state of mind. We can be saved from this state by being exposed to the truth. By being exposed to the truth. Again, notice the words in verses 3 and 4. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? Behold, a beam is in thine own eye. The person who has this fault-finding spirit does not behold the beam in his own eye. He's looking at others. He's focused on others. But he does not behold himself. That is the trouble. He does not behold himself. Why does he not behold himself? Because he has not been exposed to the truth. He hasn't been exposed to the Word of God. God's Word in Scripture is likened to a mirror. James 1 speaks of the person who comes to the Word of God, and they are like a person coming to a mirror. What does a mirror do? A mirror reveals to us what we are truly like. Our true state. And as we come to God's Word, as we come to the mirror of God's truth, it reveals to us our true spiritual state before God. We see ourselves here. We see our sin here. This book will come and it will judge us. It will judge us. It will reveal our faults and our sin. And so someone that is only focused upon the faults of others and cannot see their own sin has not been to the mirror of God's word. Has not examined their own lives in God's truth. When we come to the truth of God's word, then we will not see the faults of others. They will not be the things that stand out. It will not be the mote in my brother's eye, but it will be the sin in my own life and in my own heart. That is what will concern us. That is what will burden us. That is what will challenge us. Our own faults, our own sin, our own shortcomings. We will not say like David, as the Lord liveth this man, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this shall surely die. We will not say that as we come to God's word. But we will say, as did Isaiah, as he was exposed to the truth, woe is me, for I am undone. I am undone. As we view ourselves in the mirror of God's word, there's not one of us can cast a stone. Not one of us. We cannot cast a stone in judgment and condemnation against anybody. Oh yes, we can help others and seek to support others, but not throw a stone in judgment or in condemnation. So we can be delivered from this position by being exposed to the truth. We can also be delivered from this position by the examination of self. The examination of self. Notice what Christ says at the start of verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. This is a command that Christ is giving here. He's saying, you must take action against your own sin. Take action against it. Judge it. Wield the sword of criticism against it. We are to take action against our own sin. That is our primary duty and concern. And of course, Christ in the Sermon on the Mount has already taught along these same lines. And in chapter 5, verses 29 and 30, he says, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Again, the same truth is brought before us. We ourselves must take action, and whatever action is necessary, to deal with the blemish and problem of sin in our own lives. This is the only way we will be saved from having this critical fault-finding spirit. Being exposed to the truth, and then take an action. Not against others, but against ourselves. It is only when we have taken this positive action concerning our own sin that we will be able to help others. We will be able to help our brothers and sisters in the faith. You see, the truth is not until we have ourselves felt the pain of dealing with our own sin are we qualified to help others. And that is what verse 5 is saying. We must deal with the sin in our own lives. Then we are qualified to help others. Then we are in a position to help others. Once we have felt the pain of self-judgment, the pain of ridding sin out of our own hearts and lives, we are in a position to help others and support others. And that's what the Savior is teaching here. Judge not that you be not judged. Judge self. Deal with sin in self. And then you're in a position to help others. This is the person who is qualified to help their brother and sister in the faith. A humble person. Because they have confronted their own sin. They know its effects. They know its costs. They know its pain. And then they can go to others in love and with meekness and for their betterment and welfare.